Over the course of the month of May, I'm actively recruiting for the two summer EE camps that Togiak Refuge offers: the Cape Pierce Marine Science and Yupik Culture Camp and the Summer Outdoor Skills and River Ecology Float Camp. I mentioned both at the end of last week's episode. I'm obviously somewhat biased. A portion of my job is tied up in the promotion of each. But to my mind, both are incredible summer opportunities for area teens. They offer fantastic chances to spend time outdoors and don't cost a dime, at least not for the students. Of the two, I've never made any secret of the fact that I'm partial to the second one, the float camp, and for one very simple reason. I have come to really appreciate river rafting. Not whitewater rafting, mind you, which is a different animal entirely, but a more relaxing style of rafting that allows for the appreciation of other things, such as fishing, hunting, camping, or just enjoying the scenic beauty of a remote Alaska river. I had never been on a river rafting trip prior to coming to work for the refuge, and now I fervently hope a summer never goes by that I don't have at least one chance to do so. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. With summer nearly upon us, getting out on the water is something that's likely very prominent in the minds of many. In fact, given the early start to our spring, a lot of folks have already been out on the water quite a bit. Boating can take many forms, though I'm guessing strongly that for most of those around the area, it involves a 16 to 20-foot aluminum boat powered by an outboard motor. There are also any number of others who enjoy non-motorized watercraft, such as canoes or kayaks. Probably less common is the use of river rafts, complete with a rafting frame and ready to be loaded with whatever is needed for the trip that's planned. Some activities don't cost a whole lot to take up. Sadly, river rafting isn't really one of them, and for a couple of reasons. First of all, I want to state again the type of rafting I'm referring to is of a more relaxing, recreational nature, not whitewater rafting. Rafting, of the sort that I have in mind, can be strictly for the sake of rafting, combined with camping in some very remote areas, but is often attached to other purposes, such as hunting or fishing. For example, the float trips we, meaning the refuge, take high school kids on does include a fair amount of fishing, though we do a number of other activities as well. I still consider float trips and rafting to be something I'm fairly new to doing, with my first such trip having happened while working for the refuge in 2007. Rafting is something I'd not had the chance or inclination to pursue until starting to work for Togiak Refuge, and I find now that, well, gee, I've missed out on a lot. It is now one of my favorite outdoor activities to participate in. Something that's always been kind of funny about it to me is that I'm no huge fan of water. Sure, I like to do a number of things, to include fishing, that happen around water, but I don't tend to enjoy water strictly for the sake of water. Some people take to the water like a proverbial duck, while others are deathly afraid of having anything to do with it. Because of where I fall on that water use spectrum, I guess rafting was something that just never really crossed my radar. Now it's something I look forward to with the same enthusiasm as a 10-year-old getting geeked up for either Halloween or Christmas. So, what is it that's so appealing about floating down a ribbon of river with only the current in your arms to provide any measure of propulsion? For me, it's the level of connection I feel with nature. A good float trip allows me to interact with the natural world on a very non-intrusive level. It can have moments of extreme excitement, and it can be one of the most serene experiences you'll ever have. I mentioned just a bit ago that it's not the cheapest thing to do. Fishing, for example, can be a fairly inexpensive thing to get into. No, seriously. For $20 or $30, you can come up with a workable rod and reel combo and enough lures to get started. Throw in a fishing license and you're off and running. Not quite so with rafting. Rafting has two parts that can serve to make it a bit more expensive: the gear itself and gaining access to waters in which to participate. Serviceable used rafts can be gotten on occasion for a few $100s or more, and new ones can cost thousands. Additionally, you need other gear, such as the rafting frame, oar locks, and decent oars. It's one of those things that the expense can start to build up quite quickly. On top of that, decent rivers often necessitate air taxis in order to gain access. Air taxis are not cheap. So rafting isn't a cheap outdoor activity. That said, I think the benefits can be worth the time and money. Rafts can be rented, often from air taxis, so there is that as an option. Though if you plan for your trip to be very long, you probably just need to consider buying your own and being done with it. If it's just for a day or two, well, then maybe renting one is the way to go. There are a fair number of types of rafts, far more than I could get into on a single program. There are different types of rafts, different materials they can be made from, and choosing the right raft is largely a product of your intended use and where you plan to use it. At the refuge, we have a number of different raft types, from really large, cumbersome bucket-type rafts that can carry a ton of gear and people, to narrow, more streamlined inflatable kayaks. They all work well when used in a manner for which they were designed. A couple of years ago, I took the plunge and bought what I think of as my first serious raft. It has a narrow design and actually has a small transom on one end. At first glance, it doesn't look much like a traditional raft, but over the course of my research, I tend to research things to the nth degree, and it was bought for a float trip for a friend and I for fishing and hunting. I came across numerous accounts of its ability to handle like a traditional raft when used with oars. In fact, my own experiences with it are that it's as nimble and responsive with oars and a traditional rowing frame as any raft I've ever been on, and it has the added advantage of being able to drop a small kicker for lake travel. Another raft consideration is whether to get one that's self-bailing or a traditional bucket floor. A bucket floor is like a tub. It collects water, and you need to have a method of addressing this issue. If it rains, water collects. Getting in and out of the raft, water collects. A simple hand bilge is a very effective way of dealing with it. A self-bailing floor raft has slits in the floor on the sides where they meet the tubes. The inflatable floor of a self-baler is curved to pull water away from the middle and drain through the slits. We have and use both types of rafts at the refuge. My Kubot, the raft I described a minute ago, with the transom, is a bucket boat. It has to be pumped empty if water accumulates. So, which is better? Well, there is no right answer. It's a personal preference kind of thing, at least for the types of floats I've been describing. In a whitewater rafting type of scenario, you're likely better off with a self-bailer. The rivers I have floated have not been difficult. Any water-based activity comes with a degree of risk, but some rivers have a lot more than others. There is no tricky water, for the most part, other than the occasional exposed boulder in a low water year. The trick, by the way, is to not get caught sideways on one. The most dangerous thing you'll see in most refuge rivers are those rocks and sweepers. For those that haven't heard the term, sweepers refer to trees that, through erosion of the bank or by other means, are leaning out over or into the water from the bank. Failure to watch for sweepers can lead to a raft getting sucked into one of these, with the potential that the raft could be flipped over. Simple river awareness is one of the best ways to avoid issues with sweepers and rocks. Look ahead to know if any potential problems are imminent, and take steps beforehand to avoid getting close to them. So again, I pose the question, what's so great about floating? Isn't it a bit on the slow, possibly even boring side? I guess that depends on your outlook. Even though I consider that my own rafting experiences have been limited, for me rafting is always a shot of adrenaline to my senses, even as it brings about a deep and very welcome sense of calm to my soul. In the stillness that can be attained through letting the river pull me gently through the natural world, I find that the natural world is a lot more accepting of me, and that my presence on a river is often almost non-existent, as far as the life along the river is concerned. Without getting into sharing details, it also harkens strongly to what I believe spiritually, to that which makes me feel whole. The sights, the sounds, the smells, all seemingly untouched and tainted by human encroachment. In a word, it's wonderful. There's a quote from Rachel Carson that I have used on several occasions. It is a wholesome and necessary thing for us to turn again to the earth, and in the contemplation of her beauties, to know of wonder and humility. Floating a river will smack you right between the eyes with all of that. Never floated a river? Summer's upon us. There's no time like the present. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitude Zat, www.solitudes.com.